Hey, welcome to the Monkey House Primates.
So, thanks so much. I've asked around here to quickly let you all know that we're in Sydney. We're about to be in Brisbane. So very quick stop in Sydney. We're just here for a few nights. So come and see us. And then what are we doing?
We're going up to Brisbane. We're going to do a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart at Good Chat. And we're also doing a couple of Dryer Dryers, our comedy festival show. It's the last run of the whole tour. So come on down, Brisbane.
That's right. And in Sydney, we're at the Manning Bar and at the Chippo for the Who Knew It. Really pumped up. Hopefully see you all there. Now on with the show. Ook ook. What is that? What the monkey say?
Yeah, ooga chacha.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. This week on the show, we have a very special guest returning to the Monkey House via satellite link. It's the program director of the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance, Erica Fleury.
Hello, I'm so glad to be back.
I think I said your name differently last time, but you're so polite you don't even mention it.
You know, everyone says it a little bit differently, but as long as you're saying it, I'm cool with it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great name.
I think it's a married name for me, so I'm still, you know, I wasn't born with it.
What was your birth name?
Erica Walter.
Erica Walter. No offense to your Walter clan, but I think you've stepped up with
Fleury. Ooh, they're not going to like that.
Now, I'm not saying Walter's bad. I'm just saying Fleury is so good.
It's exotic, right?
It's very exotic.
I know.
It's mysterious. No.
Although, you know, Walter is never mispronounced, so it's right. Very stable and reliable.
Okay. So, I mean,
anyway,
you lived that life for a while, and now you're living the wild Fleury life.
That's right, the wild Fleury life of primates.
Yeah. But, I mean, you had a Walter childhood, stable, all that sort of stuff. Now
it was a very Walter childhood.
It is very good to have you back here in the Monkey House. People love the episode you're on last time, a few months back.
Oh, I loved it too. I mean, it was great to see the feedback from everyone, and it was fun and different for me. So I love doing this with you.
Well, that's great. Thanks so much for coming back. And for those who didn't hear that episode, maybe they should go back and listen. But if they haven't, do you want to talk quickly about what NAPSA is?
Sure.
And that is the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance, not the Pharmacist Student Association.
It caused so much confusion last time.
It really did. And I'm not going to let that slip me up this time. So when you say NAPSA, I'm going to know you're talking about the primate sanctuary. I've been practicing that all week.
It's quite a mouthful. So
there is one other that's going to slip in a little bit, because when I Googled it earlier today, the first one that came up was the Notional Agreement Preserving State Awards.
Where do you find these things?
Well, that's an Australian workplace award. Like, it's a pretty big deal down here, the NAPSAs, the Notional Agreement Preserving State Awards.
I'm sure they're lovely people.
To be honest, it's a transitional federal instrument that came into operation on the 27th of March, 2006. That's as far as the blurb on Google goes, and I will not click on their website. Because they're not the real NAPSA.
No. The real NAPSA is the North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance.
Oh, it's not the National Australian Pharmacy Students Association. Oh, no, hang on. I've fallen into that trap again. Yes, no, you're right.
Yes.
North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
What kind of work do you do there?
We are a coalition of 8 of the leading primate sanctuaries in North America. And so they're scattered all over the continent. I am their program director, and I direct their work. they are all busy taking care of close to 800 rescued and retired primates at their sanctuaries. And those primates include over 400 chimpanzees, a number of orangutans, lots of different kinds of monkeys, and they all come from either laboratory research, the entertainment industry, or the pet trade.
Yeah, we're talking some pretty big deals here, aren't we? They're some of the biggest stars of the primate, non-human primate world.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Chimphaven in Louisiana has the most chimpanzees of any sanctuary. They have, it climbs all the time. I want to say the number is something like 284.
Bloody hell.
Yep, I can tell you right now because I'm pulling up my spreadsheet.
I love a spreadsheet.
Yeah, 296. Look at that. Good thing I checked. So, yes, we have definitely have some of the superstars. We have Center for Great Apes, which get the Great Apes from Entertainment, which include a number of the primates you mentioned on this podcast in various episodes.
Yep, the big stars.
So, yes, lots of them. Lots of monkey sanctuaries that are big stars, too. They get lots of laboratory monkeys, and they're all doing fantastic work to help these primates that have nowhere else to go.
So cool. You are literally a primatologist. Is that right?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, there's, you know, I don't have a degree in primatology, though.
Oh, I will be honest. Please don't back off from this. You are a genuine primatologist. That's important to me, even if it's not important to you.
Did I graduate from the School of Primates podcast?
Yeah, of course.
Is that an honorary degree?
Yeah, it definitely does. Okay.
Then I am a primatologist, yes.
All right, perfect. Yes. So you suggested, I said last time that next time you come on, we should talk about a specific TV show or movie or something. And yes. You suggested an episode of Full House, the classic 90s US sitcom set in San Francisco.
Yes, very, very much a staple of the Walter childhood that I enjoyed.
Right. So for people who don't know, I mean, it's made a comeback as Fuller House on Netflix, but it was, I think originally it came out in the mid-90s, and the brief IMDb synopsis is, a widowed broadcaster raises his three children with the assistance of his rock and roll brother-in-law and his madcap best friend.
If Madcap is in the description, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, I love Madcap. I watching that episode today. It was really Uncle Jesse is the rock and roll brother-in-law, and then the Madcap best friend is Uncle Joey, I think.
Yes, Uncle Joey.
Joey is clearly a big fan of Bill Murray. I think he sounds like he's doing like a soft Bill Murray impersonation the whole episode.
I think on every episode he's doing impersonations of other people basically the whole time.
Right. Okay.
And it's all very much, I guess the show actually started in 1987 according to Hulu.
Okay. Yes. Oh, it ended in the mid 90s. Right.
Yes, that
and just got
right.
repeated throughout the 90s, I guess. I remember it being like a mid to late 90s show, but wow, 1987.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the early episodes are very 80s.
So would you say, Uncle Joey, you say he's always impersonating other people. Do we ever get to know the real Uncle Joey, do you think?
He's somewhat of an enigma, I think. No. I think maybe on this episode, Aunt Wendy, she gets to see a little bit of the real Joey, perhaps, and she likes what she sees, I believe.
Yeah, there's romance that kicks off very quickly.
Steamy.
I think my favorite Uncle Joey, I'm just looking this up to make sure, my favorite Uncle Joey fact is that supposedly the Alanis Morissette song You Ought to Know is written about the actor Dave Coulier, who plays Uncle
Joey.
I've heard that. And I don't know if it's 100% true, but I believe it is. And it's like a really angry breakup song. He really broke Alanis Morissette's heart. Uncle Joey. Isn't that wild?
Where did this angst come from? Because when you look at him, he's like a big goofy teddy bear.
Yeah. He's not a heartbreaker, surely.
Well, maybe that means he's a really good actor because the real Dave Coulier is, edgy.
Yeah, I think that
maybe
he never let us in on the show, but unfortunately, Alanis Morissette let him into her heart, and he messed it up in there. He made a real bloody mess of the place.
He did. He did. You ought to know.
Yeah. Well, I guess she does now. That's a good warning for everyone out there. Stay clear of Uncle Joey.
It's trouble.
He is trouble. So the episode that you've suggested came from season 5, and it is called Too Much Monkey Business. And the IMDb episode description says, Danny is delighted to host his younger sister, Wendy, but less thrilled when the zoologist brings her pet chimpanzee, Ginger, along for the visit. That's not really true. He seemed fine with it. Ginger takes a liking to Jesse as sparks fly between Wendy and Joey. Stephanie and Michelle are spooked by the arrival of a tribal souvenir that threatens to curse the household unless it's fed. DJ accidentally ruins Kimmy's hair when she attempts to perm and color at home. That's written by Melissa. So that's a 24-minute episode, has all of that in it.
And I believe a lot of it could have been taken out entirely and would not have been missed, because the whole African mask part did not seem really necessary.
No, that did not go anywhere in particular. I think maybe in the writer's room there, it's just any idea, throw them all in and we'll put them all in.
I think they needed something for the Olsen twins to do, right, and for the Stephanie character, and so they did that. But I would prefer it to not have happened at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. But well, we can talk about the chimp part, perhaps.
Yeah, let's. I want to play you the part where the chimp is introduced. So right off the top, actually, the doorbell rings. One of the Olsen twins, who don't know, the youngest kid in the show is played by the Olsen twins.
Her name is Michelle.
Michelle, right, great. She goes to the door, answers the door, and straight off the bat, she says, there's a monkey at the door.
Yes.
It's a chimpanzee.
And let's talk about that.
Okay.
Exactly. You know, that bothered you too, right?
It really did. And the whole episode, they were all calling a monkey, including, and the zoologists had no trouble with this. But I want to play you the part where the dad, what's the dad's name again?
Danny Tanner.
Played by a bad boy of American comedy,
Bob Saget.
All right, here is him opening the door to greet his sister, Wendy. Here we go.
Hey, Wendy, hi. You're back. Girls, it's your Aunt Wendy and her monkey.
Oh, look at the monkey.
Oh, wait a second. Is it safe for the kids to be near the monkey?
Oh, absolutely. She's very tame. I raised her all by myself from a little baby. I was studying chimpanzees in Uganda, and I found poor Ginger all by herself.
Okay, so what she said here is that because she's raised it since it was young, it's not a threat to anyone. Would that be true?
No. And tell me, they're calling the monkey, or they're calling the chimp a monkey. They're calling the chimp him or it or her. What are they saying? Because I actually couldn't hear the clip there. It's okay.
I don't understand technology. I thought I was playing that for your benefit, but obviously just for the listeners at home's benefit.
Well, it's all about them.
She said that Danny goes, is it safe for the kids to be around her? And she said, yeah, I raised it since it was a baby, so no worries at all. I found
it in
Uganda. It was all alone, so I took it.
That is not.
Does this all feel above board to you?
No, that is not a standard practice for primatologists. When you see a soul chimpanzee in Uganda, you do not take it to San Francisco with to your brother's house.
Oh, okay. Well,
no.
I guess things were a little different back in the 90s. It was a different time.
Well, I don't even think they were. I think the show is incredibly falsified.
Okay.
And I also don't know why she has the chimp wearing shorts, why the chimp is ringing the doorbell, and that's how she announces her arrival to their home.
I think, look, I'll let you in behind the curtain here. I reckon I know why the chimp answered rang the doorbell. It was for the great line where the daughter goes, opens the door, says, there's a monkey at the door. And then Danny Tanner says, that must be my sister. So that's why Ginger rang the doorbell. It's for comedy gold. And I think, you're allowed to stretch the truth a little bit if you're going to get a great laugh like that.
A great laugh. And you're a comedian, so you know gold
know.
When you see it.
I'm on the inside on this one. Oh. You might know chimpanzees, but I know zingers.
That was one?
Oh, yeah, big time. I think that might be top 10 funniest jokes ever.
I don't know if I'm going to come to any of your shows now.
Well, then my shows aren't as good as that. I can't hit that sort of height.
Well,
my sister looks like a chimpanzee. Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, now you get it.
That sounds really good.
It's one of those ones, maybe you'll get it on the way home. That kind of joke.
It has to rest with you for a little bit.
Yeah,
marinate.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I also enjoy Aunt Wendy. I like how she's always dressed like she's going on a safari. Did you notice that?
I did. Yeah, I thought maybe it was Steve Irwin's sister or something like that.
Lots of khaki.
Yeah, loves the khaki.
And I don't know if that's necessary, though, because she's just visiting her family.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you're a zoologist, you've really got to commit, you know, especially if you're seeing people for the first time in a while, you really got to let them know, I've made a choice with my life. I'm all in at the zoo now. This is me.
Well,
love it or leave it.
Taking the chimp with you, carrying them with you is sort of a sign of that too, right?
Oh, I mean, holding the chimp's a subtle nod to being a zoologist, but I think wearing khaki, you know, you can't get any more in your face than that.
It's true.
I mean, business, zoo business.
Right. No, that's official gear. Yeah. The family seems okay with just letting the chimp come in and stay with them temporarily.
Yeah.
Or for a few days, right?
Yeah. Well, Father Danny, he does say, hey, because Wendy goes, I'll stay. Maybe I should get a hotel. This doesn't seem to be appropriate. And he said, no, my sister's got to stay here. I'll get a hotel for the chimp. Oh, he probably said monkey.
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty funny. Can you imagine that? That's a whole second episode. Chimp alone in a hotel room?
Yes.
I think
they follow that?
Yeah. You basically got Dunstan Checks In. I reckon the writer of Dunstan Checks In was watching this episode and they extrapolated from that line.
Yes, he was watching and he said, I've got it. And like a light bulb went off above his head.
But just for copyright reasons, changed it to an orangutan instead of a chimpanzee.
Right, because he didn't want people to catch on, you know, as quickly as you did. They don't have, not everyone has your sleuthing abilities.
That's right. Also, I've got 1 foot in comedy and 1 foot in primates. So I'm probably one of the few who is qualified to figure this out.
That's right.
And I did, real quick.
And to analyze this episode in such detail as we are doing right now.
That's right. I mean, it took 20 years, but I busted this wide open.
It deserves it.
Yeah. Why did you pick this episode in particular? Because you loved Full House growing up?
I did love Full House growing up, and it always made me happy to watch it. And even now when I hear the music, it makes me feel like I'm like 8 years old again watching this on the couch.
Definitely my favorite thing about the show. I genuinely, entirely unironically love the theme song. I reckon it's a banging tune. Love it.
It makes me happy, right? It just, it's like a return to childhood. And then about a year ago, my daughter started watching it. She was, I think, 6 at the time. And so I got re-interested in all these episodes because she had it on, so I would see them. And then we saw the chimp episode. And of course, I don't remember the chimp episode being on in 1992. But seeing it now, with knowing what I know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. And so we would talk about it. And then I thought it would be good to talk about with you.
Yeah, great. And it's sort of coming towards the end of or probably right in the death throes of the golden age of real live primates on screen. Like the modern, you know, the last decade or so has been pretty much it's moved into nearly all CGI stuff. But back then, up until the 90s, it seemed like every sitcom had at least an episode where they went, oh, I guess we bring in the monkey. Friends,
absolutely.
Friends did it in season 1. Normally it feels like we're running out of ideas thing. Let's bring a chimp in. But
they hopped right on that train, didn't they?
Full House waited all the way to season 5.
They did. But they kept all the typical cliches that we would expect.
Yeah. Yep. The chimp did run wild at one point. Well, I guess, let's talk through the episode a little bit, at least that main storyline. So Joey, it becomes clear that Joey knew Wendy as kids and they were real bratty to each other. They were at each other's throats in a kid sort of nasty way.
Not anymore though.
Not anymore. Now they're at each other's necks in a much more sensual way.
Almost too sensual for this show.
Yeah. There was a few weird moments in this show. Earlier, before we even got to that, Ginger the chimp had its hand in Uncle Jesse's pocket.
Yes, I was going to say, what is going on?
And he goes, what is the chimp? What's the monkey doing? And he goes, well, I know what the monkey's doing. Why is it doing it? So was he pretty explicitly saying it was wanking him off?
Yes, it was like molesting him. And that is not at all appropriate for a show like this for kids.
I would say that at that point, very early in the episode, was too much monkey business.
Yeah, that is definitely too much monkey business. And I'm not comfortable with the whole chimp man business going on there.
Yeah. Let's leave chimps and chimps to love each other, all right? Stop.
And the whole family was just watching it happen, right? They were just like chuckling. Oh, Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse. Yeah.
The chimp loves
Someone do something about this.
I know.
Well, there was a scene later on chimp got loose in the house. It jumped in. Jesse was waiting for his wife to join him in bed. And they were alluding to it. I think it sounded like they were going to have sex for the first time since they had twins. So it was a pretty
big moment.
I don't
know if it's the first time, but yeah.
It wasn't the first time. Like, I got to open up here. I was half watching this show.
That's okay.
It was hard to, even for 24 minutes, it was hard to fully keep my attention. But
I don't blame you.
So he was waiting for his wife to join him in bed. And is his wife, sorry for jumping around, but his wife is in trouble for paying, is she the one who's been bribing universities to let her kids in?
Yes, Lori Loughlin, her name is. So she plays Aunt Becky on the show, and she was just recently she still is in a lot of trouble, for bribing to get her two daughters into college and falsifying, I guess, some records, something about, I think, claiming that they were on athletic scholarships or paying to get them in on athletic scholarships for sports that they never played.
Right.
So she's in a bit of trouble, but she plays a real goody two-shoes on the show.
Yeah, as they all sort of do. Even the bad boys are kind of all very good.
Absolutely.
It is the most saccharine sort of US sitcom cliche show. It's sort of like the basis of the weird, and every episode ends with the crowd,
They hug. Yeah. It's all a big misunderstanding.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
which is why I love it. That's why it makes me happy.
Yeah, right. It is. It's made for feel goodness. And every now and then a little bit of interspecies jerking off. Strange. It's such a weird thing for them to put in there. But
I know.
And then there was this other part where, so he's waiting for Aunt Becky to come in. And all of a sudden, I might even play. I'll play it now.
Can't keep your hands out of my hair, huh, honey? Oh, I love you. Oh, that feels good, honey. You know all the right spots. The rough stuff tonight, huh, honey? Has Uncle Jesse been a bad boy? Becky, when was the last time you shaved your back?
So what you heard there was Uncle Jesse thinking that his wife was joining him in bed, but it was actually Ginger the chimp who ended up spanking him. And at one point he even said, he called himself to his wife, "Oh, Uncle Jesse's been a bad boy," or something like that. Why is he calling himself Uncle Jesse to his wife? That's only the uncleness is only relevant to the kids. His nieces and nephew. What are you talking about?
That's creepy.
So
I didn't even
weird.
Realize that.
Why are you calling yourself that?
It was
a real weird moment.
The chimp was nibbling on him or whatever at the time. I think I was pretty horrified by that. And I didn't even hear the Uncle Jesse part. There's a whole lot to question in this episode.
Yes.
And I might argue that if we were to examine every episode of this show, there's probably as much stupidity going on.
Yeah.
throughout the whole series.
Well, and that's the thing about it, is like it's a series of, they churn out. I mean, this is episode 18 of season 5. And it was not the last episode. There were nearly 30 episodes in that season. So, you know, that's a lot of TV half hours to. So, yeah, I'm guessing they're just throwing stuff against the wall there. But
yeah, they don't dig too deep.
So Wendy, the zoologist and sister of Danny, is reconnecting with her bratty old friend, Uncle Joey, the man of a million voices, but. What's his actual voice, you know? We don't know. But they
don't.
Danny encourages Joey to take her to a zoo. Audition, but that, job interview.
Yeah, well, she, you know, in the beginning, and you may have missed this because you might have been distracted, but she walks in and everyone's like, oh, Aunt Wendy's here. And she says, I have a job interview at the zoo at 3:00. Can you take me there? And it's like, whoa, what? Is this what you do when you go to visit family? You just expect them to take you to a job interview?
I did not notice that. That's so presumptuous. Anyway, I'm here.
Yeah, maybe that's why Joey fought with her as kids. Maybe she was always so presumptuous.
Right. Yeah, very privileged.
She's got a bit of an attitude.
I think I'm feeling that. That makes sense. But anyway, by the time they return, they're making out on the couch.
Right.
And
as you do in a house full of children, right?
Yeah. And then Danny walks in and he says, I need to talk to you, Joey. And then they have a quiet word and Danny says to Joey, back off my sister.
Mm.
It's bad news. Don't do it. And Joey's like, I'm a grown man. She's a grown woman. And I was loving that. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's all a bit weird. it's weird that Danny, why is Danny, I mean, they are all like, they're all, it must be 40s. And they're going... Why are they having these conversations? Back off my sister. It was a real schoolyard sort of thing.
We learned why, though.
We learned why right at the end. And that's because Danny was trying to protect Joey, not his sister.
She's a heartbreaker.
She's a heartbreaker. She's always traveling around, chasing chimps and zoo jobs. And he just wanted to make sure Joey's heart was protected. Why he didn't say that up the top, I'm not sure. Because that would have saved a lot of misunderstandings.
For sure. But that's how this show is built.
That's right.
It's all a big misunderstanding.
It's a whole lot of misunderstandings.
I know.
Yeah, so they end up, but in the very end, he says, let's make it work. She takes the job at the zoo, and I obviously haven't seen the next episode. Does it follow on from there? Do you remember?
No, I don't think we ever see her again.
That is amazing.
Wendy, they needed her for one episode to get a chimp on. And when the chimp is gone, they don't need Wendy anymore.
So why didn't they end the episode saying, I'm not going to take this job, but let's try and make it work long distance or something. Something where it's not so jarring that she just disappears the next episode.
Is it really jarring, though?
All right, probably not.
Are you upset?
I'm a little upset. I really thought I saw a long, loving relationship.
Well, there maybe there's some Full House aficionados out there who are going to argue with me, but I don't remember seeing Wendy on future episodes.
Yeah, the next episode is called something without Monkey in the title, which makes me think probably not that.
She's only around monkeys.
Why is
chimps.
It that monkey, even back then, probably even today, people still call chimpanzees monkeys? Why is that?
Do it all the time. I think people don't know, and there's so many monkey species. I hear people saying gorilla when they mean chimp, or I'm sure people even say monkey when they mean gorilla. They think monkey means all primates, and as you know, that's not true. But, you know, and I think people also might think ape means all primates.
Yeah,
there's a lot
of
confusion out there about what's an ape, what's a monkey, what's a primate, what's a gorilla, you know.
And I mean, that's really why this podcast exists. It's here to educate as well as entertain. You know, if we can do both, we can do both. You know, I can multitask.
Full House doesn't manage that. They just sort of do the entertainment part, not so much the education part.
Well, not in terms of primates, but emotionally they do educate. You know, they tell you to open up your heart.
And you're so right.
Family, you know, family will always be there for you.
That was an important part of my Walter childhood.
Yeah. Did you grow
That's
up?
That's why
in
I'm so well-rounded.
Because you're not too far from San. You're in LA, right? Which is
I'm in LA,
a couple
but
of hours
I actually
from
it's Fran. Like I think driving, it's more than a couple hours. I think it's more like 6 to 7 hours. I haven't driven there yet, but I actually grew up in New Jersey on the opposite coast of the States.
Ah, New Jersey. Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Rutgers University.
Yes, right near Rutgers.
I went to, I saw a football game, Rutgers versus someone, which was a bit of fun.
You did?
Yeah.
In New Jersey?
In New Jersey. Like, yeah. Yeah, I went to Rutgers.
Wow.
Caught the train down from New York for the day.
Yes. So I was in this little town right near Princeton, which is where Princeton University is, and also very close to Rutgers. So the central New Jersey area where I grew up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think that's about all I know about New Jersey. Oh, wait, Jersey Boys. What's his name and what's their names, you know?
Got Jersey in the title, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I forget what that band is.
That's all you need to know.
And isn't also John Bon Jovi a Jersey guy?
He is.
I mean, it's a state that's, you know, it's a very musical sounding state. A
lot of musicians from New Jersey.
I wonder why
that is. Maybe that's because it's so close to New York.
Right.
It's right near it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's weird because it feels like they're almost part of the same city, you know, that's that close. Mm.
But, well, yeah, they're really, I mean, you know, you were there. You took a train or a bus or whatever to come right there. So,
yeah, it's very different in Australia. If there were two big cities that close to each other, what's the capital of New Jersey?
Trenton.
That would basically be a suburb of New York, but in Australia, that's just. That would just be a suburb, but over there, everything, you've got state lines everywhere.
Oh gosh, it's so confusing. I know. And I'm sure for someone who's not from this country, it's even more of a mishmash.
But I think that's fun. I find that really fascinating. 50 states. And I'll name them all now. No, I won't. But Utah is one I know.
That is one.
Yeah.
Good great job.
49 ago. Here we go.
An American.
Hawaii. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Iowa? Alaska. Is that a state? Alaska.
Yes.
Great.
Iowa are we doing is a state. This?
New York. New Jersey. Have I said that yet? California.
Not yet, but yes.
North Dakota. South Dakota. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, North Carolina.
Yes.
I've named 20% of your states.
There's Virginia, there's West Virginia, there's all these, you know, very similar in name.
Okay, ones. Now you need to name 20% of Australian states, please, as a, you know, bilateral sort of show of faith that we're, you know, we appreciate each other's nations. You can begin now.
Okay, these are the words I know that I associate with Australia. I know Brisbane, I know Wollongong.
Okay.
Not sure if I know more than that.
That were two cities, sort of, Brisbane and Wollongong.
I said Brisbane wrong, so.
Well, no, but I think you said it like it's spelt, which is okay. Wollongong, Brisbane. I don't know about that. Brisbane, yeah. Melbourne. I'm in Melbourne.
Okay. It's Melbourne. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's sort of Melbourne. But
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Sound like you.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
I think. Do you want to talk much more about the Full House episodes? I've got some. we can go back into it. I mean, what else? I feel like we've nailed pretty much most of it. There were weird I mean, we didn't talk about how the older daughter and her friend had a bit of a hair dye mishap. But that was when the chimp was on a rampage. Went in.
Right.
It was on the
loose. Rampage. Yeah, by rampage you mean he snuck into the room and mixed up some hair dye?
Yeah, he did a few very subtly comical scenarios. He went in, mixed some extra hair dye. Why did it get frizzy though? So the chimp added extra red in the hair dye.
Yeah, and she ends up looking like an Eddie Van Halen mullet.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's got a bit of that David Bowie when he had a red mullet as well.
Yeah, it looked good on David Bowie though.
It did. But she was happy. What's her name?
Kimmy. Kiki.
She was very happy when she saw it. So, you know, it was nice.
She loved it. So that worked out well. So the chimp just basically ran all over the house causing little bits of mayhem. And everyone thought it was lovely and ha ha ha. And oh, at one point, though, the chimp, escapes out the window into a tree. And that's when Danny and Joey have their heart-to-heart talk about Wendy breaking Joey's heart. And they do this in the tree, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Which is very realistic.
And also, it gave a great opportunity for John Stamos or Uncle Jesse to come out and say, is everything okay? I just saw three monkeys in the tree.
Ha, ha, ha.
Huh? Killing his brother and Joey monkeys? That's funny stuff.
You're going to write that down for your act?
No, that's locked in. I'm taking that. I think that's the statute of limitation on jokes is about, what, 30 years, is it? I think I'm...
You're good.
Yeah. So I can't wait to use that one in...
And you know, there was one part where, okay, so I think it's right at the end, Jesse promises Ginger the chimp when they're like saying goodbye, I think. He says he'll make plans to take her to see Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Which is a stupid joke. But in South Carolina, here in the States, there's actually a facility that took their chimpanzees to the movie theater to see Planet of the Apes a few years ago. That actually happened.
Right.
So I was like, oh, Jesse, you're predicting the future there.
That's cool. Is it? I think.
It's not really. I mean, it's a strange coincidence, but you wouldn't want to be in that theater with those chimps. And experts, when they saw that, were like, oh, my God, what are these people doing?
The nice thing about it was that he actually suggested a movie that had other chimpanzees in it as well.
That's true. Not a monkey movie.
Yeah.
Aladdin or something.
Yeah, that would have been disappointing. Abu's not a chimpanzee, Uncle Jesse.
Abu's a capuchin. I heard you talking about it
That's
before.
Right. That is based on the capuchins from, I think, San Francisco Zoo.
Yeah. That's what I would have guessed. He was a capuchin for sure.
Yeah. They're probably one of the most represented on-screen monkeys, I reckon, the capuchin. Very versatile.
Like Friends and Friends, right? Because they're so smart. They're so good with their hands, and they're smart, and they're cute and little.
Yeah.
Much easier to handle.
There's so many, like that line about, all right, I'll take you to a movie. How about Planet of the Apes? And that gets a laugh. There are a lot of laughs that just come at the end of sentences aren't necessarily, like, I feel like some of them are sort of hard to know what even the joke is meant to be.
Well, he also tells Ginger at one time to go find Michael Jackson.
Yes. I mean, how likely is it that a chimpanzee can go out and find, you know, an A-list celebrity?
Yeah, that's rare.
Pretty unlikely, Uncle Jesse. You know what I mean?
No, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hey, Jesse, how about you have a little mercy on the chimpanzee for once?
Hey, Jesse, how about you know the difference between a chimp spanking you and your wife spanking you?
Yeah, it wasn't until he touched the back and asked, have you not shaved your back in a while?
Wouldn't he, which is gross, number one, wouldn't he sense the chimp is not a human being?
Yeah, yep.
His ear.
He suggested that she smelt different, felt different. She was behaving differently.
Yes. And his eyes were closed. Why didn't he open his eyes?
Well, you know, maybe that's just something they do in the boudoir.
That's true. I don't really.
I don't
mess with that.
Yeah, don't bedroom shame.
That's true.
Is that a thing?
No, but now you made me feel guilty it is a thing. So.
Reminded me that Full House has a lot of catchphrases. So Uncle Jesse says, have mercy, at least once an episode.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest daughter says, please.
Mm-hmm. She also used to say, you got it, dude.
You got it, dude.
You got it, dude.
I've just found an article on E! Online, which is, it's called Have Mercy, the 20 best Full House catchphrases ranked. There is not a thing left to be ranked anymore. If this had been ranked, there's nothing left to be done.
Our society is doomed.
Number 20, duh. Michelle is a damn sass. That's not a catchphrase. Number 19, no, oh, please, which was used in this one. Apparently, one of Danny's is, what's going on? these catchphrases?
That's questions. No. I know this show. That is not a catchphrase of his. No.
This is a catchphrase I recall, Uncle Joey saying, cut it out. And he'd do a scissors thing with his fingers.
I can do that. I taught my daughter how to do it.
Really? Cut it out.
You cut like a scissors. You know, it's hard to show you on a podcast, but you cut with your scissor hands, and then you point with your index finger, and then you take your thumb and like a hitchhiking move.
Yeah. Cut it out. All right.
It's a cool move.
It is a very cool move. That's why I would have ranked it number one, but
that's probably
a little bit harder on the judging at E! Online. Only made it to the top 15.
What was number one?
I haven't even got that far down. Let's see. Number one is Nerd Bombers. Have you ever...
That's not a catchphrase, nor is that a word anyone else used outside of this show.
Nerd Bombers. It's the ultimate insult, according to this listicle.
That's a terrible list.
Nerd Bombers, no good. Have Mercy, number two. Surely Have Mercy is number one. They've got Whatever as number three.
That's also not a catchphrase from the show.
Capiche?
That's just a word people use. Yeah, Capiche is a good one.
That's number four?
Yeah, because Uncle Jesse would say that to Michelle when she was like little.
Okay. Yeah. She's got a lot of them, Michelle. She also has number six. You're in big trouble, mister.
I do remember that.
People who don't know the show are probably getting a good idea of what it's all about.
Yeah, there's not much more to it than this.
Apparently, whenever Uncle Jesse answers the phone, he says, "Talk to me." That's one of his catchphrases.
He's just a cool dude. Cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. Badass. He's real cool.
He always wears, you know, leather and vests and a necklace or something. He's very 90s rocker.
He doesn't like you touching the hair. Whoa, don't touch, not the hair, not the hair. No. He said that
Does Ginger touch the hair in this episode? Yeah, I'm
sure.
Might
not be the big finish.
Right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Were you telling me not too long ago that the man who plays Uncle Jesse... He was trying to organize a chimpanzee for his kid's birthday party or something?
It was a monkey. Just within this year. He has a baby son who I think just turned a year. And before he turned a year old, some magazine, I think it was People magazine, interviewed the actor John Stamos, who plays Uncle Jesse, about his son's birthday party coming up. And he said, I guess it was Curious George themed. And he said, I'd love to get a real monkey there. And so that was in the media. So then, you know, the animal experts were upset about that. Our organization and some others sent letters to his people and to him saying, please don't do this. This isn't a good idea. And he ended up agreeing not to get a monkey. And he said it was a joke. So perhaps it was a joke all along, but at least the monkey did not, you know, a monkey did not have to come to this birthday party.
Oh, that's funny. Maybe it was a joke.
If it was a joke, I feel like the article would have portrayed it as a joke. It just made it sound like, yeah, I'd love to have a monkey at the party. And I think that's what he meant. But then maybe he just realized it wasn't a good idea, or maybe it wasn't even possible. Who knows? But the good thing is that the monkey did not show up to his birthday party.
The monkey was busy, all right?
It's busy time. Yeah, busy being a monkey.
Yeah.
Up to monkey business.
not too much monkey business, I hope.
No, just enough.
Especially with that whole scene of Uncle Jesse being wanked off by the monkey. It's a little sus that now he wants to have a party with a monkey. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are your real motives, Uncle Jesse?
Yeah, Uncle Jesse. Because, you know, there's no line between his character and him, right? They're the same person. So.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah, unlike Uncle Joey. Joey and the actor are entirely different people. But
he's getting his heart broken on this show, but then in real life he broke Alanis Morissette's heart.
Yeah, it's all flipperoo. Whereas Uncle Jesse, that's a very blurry line. Where does Uncle Jesse stop and where does John Stamos stop? We don't know. Right. No one knows. And science has been working on this for years.
That's like a whole episode of a podcast in itself, right there.
Yeah, and we will get to the bottom of it one day.
We will.
Maybe
I'll be there for it.
Get John on. Do you know, are you a personal friend of John living in Hollywood, as you do?
I wish I was. No, I wish I was, but I'm not.
Okay.
He doesn't travel in my circle.
Well, that's interesting. It's not a big place, is it? L.A.? La La Land?
It actually is, yeah. Huh. We're not all movie stars.
Okay. Oh, so you're not a movie star.
I am not.
What?
Yes. Maybe I will be, but not yet.
You got to go to more auditions.
That's Do I strike key. You as a movie star?
Oh, yeah, big time. You got a quality, a certain quality, and it's a star quality.
Star quality. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Is oh, it that's, that a, that's a je term. Ne sais quoi?
That's one of yeah. that's one of my terms as well. Yeah, star quality. I came up with that. Je
you
ne
did.
Sais quoi. How
You've
do you
been
say?
Around a
how
long time.
I have.
Yeah, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you say it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. I've
such a worldly man.
I am. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. I yeah.
I've obvious. Traveled. You know, I caught yeah. a train to Rutgers.
That's impressive to me, to be honest. Good for you.
It was great. It was great fun done. They got slammed, Rutgers, by whoever they played. Mm. But I bought a Rutgers hoodie and I wore it proudly. And I took it back to New York and people treated me differently when I got back.
You were like a local.
No, I was an outcast.
Oh, okay. think, because you wore a Rutgers thing in New York? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. People, I was walking on the streets. I remember people scowling at me.
That's what they do in New York.
Oh.
That's just their face.
Oh, right. So it wasn't the Rutgers thing. It was just me.
It was just you and everyone else.
Okay.
It actually wasn't you. It was them. It was just that's what you do in New York.
I was smiling at them. I thought they were sort of upset with how bad the football team was.
I don't think they care much.
Or that they thought I was a Jersey boy.
They might have.
I kept telling them that I was walking here, and that didn't seem to stop them.
Did you say it in that nasally tone, like just like that? Yeah, I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
Oh, well, that's a shocker that that didn't work out for you.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to fit in.
Well, you're doing more than I have, so, okay. You know.
How, do you have a New Jersey accent? Is that what this
is? I think I do. Yeah, people say I do. Yeah.
Okay. I can't fully tell them all apart. I would have believed you were Californian born and bred, but.
Oh, no. But, you know, if you come to California, people are much happier here. So you come here, they'll smile at you more.
Oh, that's interesting. Is it is it the sunshine? Not that New Jersey gets real hot summers, but LA is just warmer all year round, right?
Oh, yeah. And you're right by the ocean and it's beautiful and absolutely.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the same in Melbourne because Melbourne's probably got weather more, maybe not the same as, but probably more in common with New York. And then the further north you go in Australia, gets closer to the Californian weather.
So are they happier there?
I'm not sure. I feel like it's pretty... Yeah, I'm not sure, but I definitely know that feeling of traveling from a cold place or a warm place and feeling instantly happier.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Get that vitamin D in you.
Yeah.
I'd have to take supplements in the winter here because I get low on it.
Oh, man, you got to come out here and visit me.
Yeah, well, that's the plan. We're hoping to take some of these podcasts, this and do go on, over to America later this year. We've been saying it for a while and we're talking to people about it. But it's a slow process. I don't know if you know this about your country, but they make it hard to get in there.
They do, yeah.
Even from your friendly Australians from Melbourne.
I apologize on behalf of my people.
Look, no apology necessary. I'm really hopeful that can happen. I've got some questions before we'll talk a little bit more about Full House towards the end. But I just put the call out to some of our Patreon supporters and listeners if they had any questions for you, because a lot of them loved your time on the show last time.
Great.
So if you're up for it, can I throw some questions at you?
I would love it.
All right, cool. I have not vetted these questions at all. I'm reading these for the first time, okay? So
should be fun.
Feel free to pass on any of them. This is from Gregory Gritman. He says, which primates are most and least human-like in their behavior?
I think you'll agree with me here that chimpanzees and especially bonobos, I think, are the most human-like in their behavior in different ways, right? Although chimps have a, you know, an aggressive sort of violent side to them. You could argue humans do too.
Totally.
But orangutans also have a lot of human qualities. If I had to pick one, though, I would say bonobos. They're the most genetically similar to us.
Right.
They look a lot like us. Yep, that's
and
my answer.
Yeah, they're sort of the John Stamos style. It's all about the sex with them.
They're lovers. Yeah.
Whereas the chimps are more fighters.
Yeah, and I guess you could say we're what, half and half.
Yeah, which is interesting that because bonobos are a very like super closely related to chimpanzees. They're basically an offshoot of chimpanzees, right? A subspecies.
Yeah. They were considered a subspecies, and now they're considered their own species.
Right. But they're very close, but they're so different in how they deal with conflict.
Absolutely. And they even look, I mean, when you look at them, you can differentiate a bonobo from a chimp really easily. It's crazy. I think maybe to the untrained eye looking at them, they might look the same, but like bonobos have this little like part in their hair,
yeah.
like a hairdo, and they've got pink lips, and their bodies have less hair on them in general. And they're really cool. I think a lot of people don't know anything about bonobos, but I'm telling the listeners right now, if you're even halfway interested, Google bonobos and you'll be fascinated by what you find.
I've got a friend who is a comedian and also works at one of our zoos here. And she's going to come on and do a bonobo special sometime soon. So we're going to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So hopefully, because I don't know heaps about them, but I think one of the most famous bonobos in a film was Koba from Planet of the Apes reboots. He's also mm-hmm. a villain. He's like the most sort of bloodthirsty. He's got a backstory that gives him a reason to be, because he was treated very poorly in research labs, but. It's interesting they chose a bonobo to be the sort of the villain.
Yeah, that's weird, and it's not very accurate. I don't like that.
Yeah, it seems a bit strange for like a movie. There's so much money spent on it. Why not have that a little bit more accurate? But anyway,
you'd think that would be a chimp, not a bonobo.
Yeah. So then he said that's the most like. I guess the least like would just be sort of like the old world monkeys or the new world monkeys. Which are the
I would say the New World monkeys because, I mean.
This is all probably a little bit subjective, right?
Yeah, this is very subjective. And there's going to be scientists like arguing with what we're saying. Although if any scientists are listening, I might be shocked. But
scientists, there are scientists who listen, who message in. But, you know, I think they take it all with a grain of salt as much as anything.
Yeah, I mean, in our opinion, I mean, look, there's primates that are called bush babies and marmosets that are like tiny little things, and I might say that those are the least like humans.
Yeah, they look more like possums or little marsupials than.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are nocturnal. Yeah, they do. They're very marsupial like. They live off of the gums of trees, and you know those are seem to have very little very little similarities to humans on the surface.
Yep. Herbert Covington asked if we ever had that basketball match. Do you remember we were talking about we're going to play? I guess we'll have to play that when when I get over later in the year. Yeah.
I'm nervous already.
Well, you should be.
Herbert, it's coming.
It's coming, and we're going to find out who the real you is. And that's you can only find out on the court, one-on-one. It's the only way.
On the court.
Melissa Ferguson asks, what's your favorite primate and why?
Oh, this always comes up on your podcast, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I imagine you've got many answers, but I think last time you gave us an answer.
Maybe I said it was spider. Orangutans.
Oh, spider monkey. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, I said spider monkey, but I can't pick. I like them all for different reasons. That's so hard.
And you got to go see them at work as well, so that'd be awkward. Right. Word gets back to them and you're playing favorites. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got coworkers that have only monkeys at their sanctuaries. I've got coworkers that have only apes. How can I pick even, you know, one of those, and I'll offend everyone else. Can't say that.
Especially
I think
the monkeys and apes themselves.
Well, that they're the most important ones.
Of course. Thanks for that question, Melissa. Tabitha Post asks, how can the average person contribute positively? I've said contribute weird, haven't I? How do you
it's
say
okay.
that?
I thought it was an Australian thing. Contribute?
Contribute, thank you. how can the average person contribute positively to the welfare of primates? And do you consider zoos ethical? We talked about that a little bit last time as well, and you said that it depends, I believe.
What about zoos?
Yeah.
So there's different opinions on zoos. What I will say is that if you want to support zoos, it's important to look for accredited zoos. So I know in the United States, there's an association called the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And they are the gold level of care for zoos and aquariums. And they have certain standards that must be met. And they sort of ensure that these facilities are responsibly run and so forth. Yeah. I know there's other such accreditations worldwide. So it's important to focus on that when you, if you want to visit a zoo. I think that's my answer for that. I forget what the first part of the question was.
How can the average person contribute? Mm-hmm. Does that contribute positively to the welfare of primates?
You did it twice. That's good. I mean, there's so much you can do, but I always tell people that the easiest thing you can do is just not support their exploitation. So that means don't go to facilities that offer like photo opportunities with primates, that offer chances for you to like hold them, pet them. That use them in entertainment, like for TV, if they loan them out or rent them out for parties. Anything that seems to be something that the primate wouldn't choose to do in the wild, you should question that. And there's actually a document on NAPSA's website, and I know Matt will put the link up for everyone listening, but we have a document on how to recognize a reputable animal care facility from those that are not reputable. We call them pseudo sanctuaries sometimes, because some places can call themselves a sanctuary, but then they do these questionable things and, you know, they make money from exploiting their primates. And it's really important that you not support those, because a lot of times animal lovers, you know, you want to see primates because they're fascinating and you might be drawn to visit such a place because you get to see these up close and you might get to hold a chimp or a monkey or get your picture taken with them. And you are contributing to their harm by doing that.
Right. Because
your dollars speak. So don't participate in those types of opportunities.
Well, Tabitha sort of follows up asking about that as well. She's asking how tourism can impact primate welfare and if there is a way to practice ethical tourism when it comes to seeing and experiencing animals. So does that mean that basically whenever there's an opportunity to get up close to primates, then it's probably bad for the primates?
Yeah, it's always bad for the primates, yeah. Because even if they seem to be okay, like you look at them, they don't seem to be upset, they don't seem to be abused. Odds are behind the scenes, they very likely could be abused. A lot of times they're drugged for these photo opportunities or for public encounters because it keeps them calm and docile. Exactly. So and just the fact that they're not, when you see them, you know, they're sitting there, they're either chained or whatever, they're with a trainer, they're not with their social group. And for primates, it's so important that they have social opportunities with their own kind, not with humans, with their own kind. Because that affects their entire health of, you know, the entire life for them. So it's just really important that you not participate in those things. Because if people didn't spend money on it, those opportunities would not exist.
Right. So does that mean that there are any, what about places where you can go and view? So I know a lot of your sanctuaries, there's not even open days or anything, is there? Or there's very few open days?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they all have at least one day a year. Some have more than that. Where they open to the public so that donors can see what they're supporting. And I think that is important because people won't understand what the sanctuary is doing and they won't want to help if they can't ever see what's going on there.
Yeah.
So they do it in a way that is not stressful to the animals. They very much minimize, you know, noise or activity, and the animals have the ability to go, you know, escape if they want to. And I don't mean escape. I mean escape from the eyes of everyone.
Yeah.
They can go into a private area or relax or, you know, go away if they don't want to be around the humans. And even then there's a lot of distance separating them. It's not like they're right up close to where the people are. So there's responsible ways to do that to let people know what's going on at a sanctuary, but it's not a daily occurrence and it's not something that can have a negative impact on the animals, you know, on a daily schedule.
Right. So does that mean you wouldn't really recommend going to zoos for the most part? Because zoos are obviously there for people to view the animals. I mean, often they're in pretty, I mean, the Melbourne Zoo, you know, they're pretty big enclosures, but for most of the animals anyway, and they do have a, I think they are phasing out any animals that aren't endangered. So they're, but I mean, I'm no expert on this at all. But I'm just wondering about places like that. there's probably different levels of how ethical a zoo could be, but
yeah, completely. There's a lot of different types of facilities that can call themselves zoos, just like there's different facilities that can call themselves sanctuaries. But we work with a lot of really amazing experts from zoos that collaborate with sanctuaries. So I'm not going to say people shouldn't ever visit zoos. They can make up their own minds about that. And there really are some incredible experts in the primate world from zoos who do a lot to rescue primates and get them into sanctuaries and support sanctuaries. We all sort of work together.
Yeah. I guess Wendy from Full House is an example of this, a zoologist who worked hard to get a chimp. She saw a chimp alone in Uganda and she thought, I'm going to take that to San Francisco, you know, city right. by the bay.
That's really
city
not
that
what the
sleeps.
Zoos do now.
Okay. Yeah sorry.
I thought accredited that was... zoos will not do that.
They won't just pick up a chimp and take it with them to America?
Here's a sign. If you see Aunt Wendy at a zoo, that's not a good zoo.
And you'll know Wendy because she'll be there in khaki.
Yes, look for khaki.
And she'll probably have
it
Uncle
means that
Joey
all the animals were
on her
still...
arm.
Right. She might be making out with him in the corner.
Yeah.
It means all their animals were stolen from their families in Uganda and you should not go there. You should leave.
Danny McMeans asked a question that follows on from this and maybe we've kind of answered it, but I'll ask it anyway. And he's okay. talking about his local zoo, which is the Sacramento Zoo. And he says he's a bit worried about the zoo in his area. He's heard that the enclosures are too small. They have 3 orangutans, 6 chimps, and a few lesser apes. They are currently in the process of considering looking to move. So my question is it better to not go to the zoo until they get a larger location and a sort of protest, or to continue to go to give money so that they can more easily move location?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that is a bit of a catch 22 sort of thing. Or
it
it's
is.
Not at
I
all
mean,
a catch
I guess.
22. I just watched catch 22 on online.
So you're going to use that phrase a lot.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, I've got a new phrase that I already knew. To be honest, I've heard of catch 22. It's an old book. Stop looking at me.
It is.
Feeling your judging eyes.
I read
eyes.
That book a long time ago.
I'm gonna. I haven't read it. I really enjoyed the series. It was a series by George Clooney. I think he was like EP of it, and it was really good. So I'm looking forward to reading the book now. But anyway, yeah, Danny, okay. what do you think about Danny's question? Danny. Do you know anything about the Sacramento Zoo?
You know, I just looked it up. They are accredited by the AZA, which is the group I recommended.
Yeah.
So that's heartening. That's a good sign. In my opinion, I don't know if I felt like a facility had subpar enclosures and standards. I don't know that I would want to support them with my money.
Yeah.
Maybe I would encourage Danny to find out for sure what their plans are and maybe talk to zoo leadership and say, what can I do to help? Because maybe there's a better way than spending your money on, you know, your entrance fee. There might be a more direct way to help them move if that's truly what they're intending to do.
Yeah, great. Oh, this is really, I think this is the most serious this show has ever been. I appreciate the...
Is that depressing?
No, I mean, I think it's good to know. Gail Ruggs also said that she's been wondering the same thing about going to zoos. Is she doing bad by, like, yeah, it's a funny thing because people go to zoos because they love animals and they want to be near them and they want to show love. But it's frustrating to know that that's potentially indirectly harming them. That's obviously not what people are intending to do. So it's a tricky one. It's a real catch 22. Am I saying that right?
It's so tricky. Yeah, you are. Yeah. It's contribute to, let me hear you say that.
Contribute. No, contribute.
No.
I've got a filmed a sketch where I had to say the phrase sportswoman of the year and I couldn't, I hit a different syllable every time and I could not say it in the way they wanted me to. And I reckon there's 10 minutes of me saying it 100 times and I don't think I ever got it right. I still don't know how I said it wrong. Sportswoman of the year. Sportswoman of the, anyway.
Sportswoman of the year.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. But I've moved on. I've clearly made peace with that. It's not a big deal. I'm not. I don't think about that going to bed or anything like that. It's fine.
Nope. Nope, you're good.
Isaac Kingy asks, how cool are geladas? Is it geladas or geladas? And why?
Gelada.
Gelada. How cool are geladas and why are they so fierce?
First of all, they're very cool.
I wouldn't have to. I gotta look up what a gelada.
They have some scary jaws. They're sometimes called the bleeding heart. Yeah, they're a baboon.
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're exotic.
Yeah. That red chest is, I can't fully figure out what's going on there. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's why they're called the bleeding heart baboon, I would think.
Right, that makes sense. Oh, no, we have talked about these on the show. They're also the ones that can really open their top lip up to just show their gums right off.
For a threat, right?
Yeah. They look kind of like lions as well.
They do.
Big manes.
They do. And sometimes baboons remind me of dogs, too, with their muzzle.
Yeah.
Something about it is canine to me,
and they're
even
very,
though they're not at all canine.
they look like they when they run on all fours, they look really comfortable, as even though they can stand up on their hind legs. But they look really comfortable, like a dog, I guess, on all four, or a lion. We're getting into pretty sciencey talk now.
All these exotic animals. they're lion-y and doggy and
so fierce. But it's,
they are fierce. But, I think all primates are fierce. I don't know if gelada baboons are more fierce than other primates. They look maybe scarier, but I don't know. Have you ever seen an angry chimp? They scare the heck out of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they'd tear people apart if they wanted to.
Yes. Well,
and
I'm sure this thing would too.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Even the bush babies, when they get fired up, you don't want to get in their way. Even the pygmy marmoset, I wouldn't be messing with them.
No, angry marmosets, no.
So thanks, Isaac, for the question. Aaron Huhay, that's not going to be how you pronounce it. Hohi Hahu, something like that. He asked the question, what's the best way to shampoo a carpet? Now, is this in your expertise? He followed it up with saying, it's urgent.
I still can't stop laughing.
And then Jason Ramsaran commented on it. He said, Matt doesn't read these questions before he starts. She's getting this question. Yeah, you're right, Jason. You know me very well.
I am. Aaron Huhay.
Aaron Huhay. Great name. Yeah, any knowledge on shampooing carpets?
I'm Googling it right now.
He probably, I think we need more information, really. Aaron, what kind of spillage is it? I know if it's red wine, you put white wine. If it's white wine, you use brown vinegar. I think if it's brown vinegar, you use a topical solution. So I'm not sure what topical solution is, what all of those were, I think, actually. Doesn't matter. Okay.
I would go to a store and rent a carpet cleaner, Aaron.
Yep.
You could do that too.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank
Erica.
You for that question.
I reckon you're not going to be stumped by any of these. Jason Ramsaran asks, if you were trapped on a deserted island, as I was going to say, you were trapped on a deserted island, which non-human primate would you want with you to help you survive, i.e. hunt, forage, and help building shelter?
I don't think any primate would help me hunt, forage, and build a shelter.
I guess he's talking, maybe think of it in a more of a CGI Planet of the Apes scenario where they've gained a little bit of intelligence through some sort of evolution or whatever. Which one's like basic skills would help the most?
Yeah, I think an orangutan would be nice to have because I think they would be easy to live with for a while. And I know you're saying CGI in like cartoony version.
Yeah.
But even so.
Well, have you seen the reboot of Planet of the Apes? The orangutan in that, Maurice, is, I can't believe it's not a real orangutan.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
No.
So I'm talking like modern technology, spot on, Andy Serkis in a suit kind of.
Right. I would still want an orangutan because they seem so thoughtful.
Yeah.
And I think they would not make any rash decisions and like have me eat a poisonous plant. They would think about it and I could watch them and like copy what they do and survive.
They also build shelters themselves, I think. And they
They hide under leaves if it's raining and stuff.
They're great climbers. They're big and strong. I think I'm with you there. I reckon that's the answer. Yeah. Well played.
And I think the most important thing is that they wouldn't attack me and kill me.
Right. Are they hunters or are they veggies or are they?
I believe
foragers.
They may. I think they're like foragers. A lot of leaves. They may eat meat very rarely. I think I've read that there's been instances of them like eating another animal very rarely, but I don't think it's very common.
Right. I've just read this is off orangutans.com.au, so you got to trust that.
Yeah.
It says the orangutan diet is made up of bark, leaves, flowers, a variety of insects, and most importantly, over 300 kinds of fruit. Termites and ants are also part of their diet and a source of protein. And to obtain minerals, they sometimes eat soil. Wow. Mm. So that's, I mean, they can survive on.
They're survivors.
Not a lot. But, yeah, it's interesting. So that makes them, they're not vegetarians because they eat termites and ants. What do you call them? They're jewel.
Insectivore.
They're insectivores. They're insecticides.
Yeah. They are. I could do that. I mean, minus the insects. I could live on that diet. I'm a vegetarian, so I could do that, right?
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah.
Yeah. I would. My vote is orangutan.
Great.
On my deserted diet.
I think, I'm with you there too. I'm also a vegetarian.
Then you could live there with us.
All right, great.
Okay.
I'm basically a non-human primate. I got the red hair of an orangutan.
That's right. Ranger, right?
I'm a ranger. Good memory.
Yeah.
It used to be an insult. Not anymore.
I still feel like it might be an insult. I still feel a little uneasy when I say it.
No, I'm taking it as a compliment. I'll allow you to call me a ranger as long as you mean
you
it.
You taught it to me.
Yeah. Well, I think
I mean it in a good way.
You definitely would because you obviously appreciate orangutans.
Yeah.
So it would be weird for you to be like going, you're a orangutan thing that I really appreciate.
Right. You precious animal.
Well, I want to do everything to help you survive and thrive. Yeah, that's right.
You jerk.
You dumb ranger.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Tim Williams, there's not too many more of these. Tim Williams asks, why is it that we associate bananas with primates? I'm sure they eat other foods, probably more than they do bananas.
They do.
Yeah, so why is it bananas?
Well, so many of them do eat fruit, though. I mean, monkeys and apes do eat fruit out of trees, and I'm guessing bananas are plentiful in the jungles where a lot of them live naturally.
Right.
But, I don't know where it all started, though. I'm not sure why we latched onto that and not, like, I don't know, berries or, you know,
I guess the leaves. Fun
they
image
eat
as
leaves
well.
More than bananas.
And they're often seen as sort of nature's comedians, and the banana is nature's comedy prop. So
it's the perfect intersection of comedy and primates for you.
Totally. The banana.
It's all making sense.
It's also my favorite fruit.
It is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love a banana. Well, I mean.
I don't.
Do you count avocados as fruit? I forget. If they're fruit, then it's probably avocado. But.
Oh, I love avocados. Yeah.
I also love blueberries. Or blueberries,
I like them too.
As you say over there. Blueberries?
I don't say that. Blueberries?
Blueberries, as I know
no
you say
that.
Over in America. Blueberries?
No one says that. Nope.
As the Americans say, blueberries?
We say contribute too.
Okay, I'm not. What does that mean? Is that a. What
was, it's a word
oh, you mean
familiar with?
Contribute. Yeah,
contribute,
sure.
Right.
Oh, contribute. Yeah.
Right.
Now you're speaking my language.
We have a real language barrier here.
There is a real barrier. Which I like because it's fading all the time because of, you know, the modern world is shrinking, you know, the World Wide Web.
Bridging the gap.
We're just chatting here on the internet right now. You're in La La Land.
Days.
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
I don't talk like that, do I?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone talks like, no one talks like that.
Oh, people do.
Oh, do they?
They do.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they do.
Well, my accent was spot on then. Whoever that is, that was who I was impersonating. Jaron Homiston asks, since when did they get fingernails? Creep me out.
They?
That's a lot of species like there. All primates, I guess.
I mean, they always had fingernails, Jaron.
Jaron, I think.
This didn't just happen. This is not a recent development.
Okay, Jaron, I think, yeah, there's questions you got asked before that. I think you should read a book, Jaron.
Jaron's all freaked out over nothing.
No, fingernails, if you look at your hands, Jaron, do it quietly and maybe sitting down. But if you look down at your fingers, you're going to see something that may creep you out as well.
Fingernails.
Oh, don't spoil it just in case they haven't seen it yet. But yeah, thank you so much for that question, Jaron. I'm assuming I'm missing the point of that. But yeah, since when did they get fingernails? Creep me
you
out.
And me both.
I love that question. Neej asks, how was your day?
He's asking me?
Yeah, how was your day, Erica?
You know, it was a different sort of day because I had a lot of dental work done.
Right.
And I got Novocaine and my whole face was numb. So for the first half of the day, I kind of felt like I was slurring my words. And then I almost missed this podcast because Matt and I had our days wrong because it's Wednesday for me here in the States.
And it's Thursday here. For him. What a wild
world.
Yeah,
and we said
is.
Thursday. Yeah, we didn't think about that. So it's been a bit of a different sort of day. Thank you for asking. But all is good now.
Thanks for that question, Neej. And Rich Compo asks, have there been any primate fossils found in North America? Oh, like I'm guessing like old extinct primates? Mm. Do you know what
like our ancient ancestors?
Yeah. Or like, I guess,
I'm
you know, like
say, yeah.
the well, gigant, what's the gigant?
I can't say it.
I'm pretty good at pronouncing words, so I'll have a go at this one. Gigantopithecus.
That's better than
close-ish.
I did.
Gigantopithecus.
He asked if they're found in America?
Yeah, North or American.
I think they're all found in Africa.
Right.
Because that's where primates originated. I don't think there's any in North America that have been found. That's my guess. It's a total guess. I really don't know what I'm talking about.
We're really flinging questions at you from all aspects of primatology.
I feel pretty very inadequate here.
Thing I found says it's from palomar.edu, and it says other Oligocene deposits containing some fossil primate bones have been found in North and West Africa, the Southern Arabian Peninsula, China, Southeast Asia, as well as North and South America. Monkeys evolved during the early Oligocene or possibly Oligocene. Near the Eocene, end of the Eocene. So, yeah, maybe.
Okay. I think, so maybe they might have been monkeys, like smaller ones that we now see in South America, I'm guessing.
Right.
Or Central. Yeah, but, I mean, that's way beyond anything I know. Well enough to talk about in public.
And then finally, Joe Haslam asks a one-word question.
Oh.
Samsquatch?
Yes. That's my answer. Yes.
Is Samsquatch a specific kind of Sasquatch or?
I think you mean Sasquatch.
Oh, it's great. Samsquatch? He asked Samsquatch ! Exclamation mark. Like he was under pressure. Feels like he's looked up, he's seen one, and he's like, I need to double check this is real. Samsquatch?
Samsquatch. Oh, wait. Okay. When you Google Samsquatch, is it Sam Squanch?
Oh, it is Sam Squanch.
Sam Squanch is from a... is
Trailer
that the one
Park
from
Boys?
Yes, which is a great show.
I haven't seen it. I should check it.
Oh, my gosh. Matt, you have to watch that.
Sam Squanch?
It's amazing. Sam Squanch is not a large part of the show, but it's a line that one of the characters gets into for a little while.
Okay.
Oh. And my husband's going to be thrilled that we brought up Trailer Park Boys on this episode.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we've kept your husband happy. Seeing as at the very last minute I've dragged you away from your Thursday night dinner. Wednesday night dinner, sorry.
It's Wednesday, and it's 10:30 p.m. here.
Holy
so.
Moly. Okay.
No dinner time now. Yeah.
He's probably watching Trailer Park Boys right now.
He very well could be.
Well, I guess maybe we should let you get back to what you do at 10:30 p.m. of an evening. And yeah. I'll but the last few things we normally do, I don't know if you remember this at the end of the episode, we normally give the media that we just consumed a score out of bananas. How many bananas out of how many in the bunch? That's all up to you, and how ripe they are. Even last week, my guest chose a different kind of banana. He gave it lady fingers. So you've got, I mean, you've got so many different ways you can go with this on this episode.
Okay, I'm going to pick.
Full House.
I'm going to pick the most traditional bananas that you can find. So, yep. Like just your normal standard yellow bananas. I'm going to pick a bunch of five because I think that's like an average bunch.
It's a classic bunch.
Because the show that, right, it's classic, it's average. This show is the same. It's classic and average. And I think that it's been around so long that the bananas are very, very ripe. Like, they're not rotten, but they're super ripe because they've just been hanging around and hanging around.
If you held one from the bottom with the peel off, it may break in half with gravity.
It may.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yes. Ripe.
All right. And how many out of five? Or are you giving it the full five out of five?
I might give it 4 out of 5 just because they called the chimp a monkey.
Yeah, that definitely had to lose a banana for me as well. I'm going to say maybe 6 out of 11 bananas. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I mean, I don't know if it, there was something about it. There was some nostalgia in there somewhere. But I mean, I didn't really enjoy most of it. The song is so good. I can't help. Right. I want to play a little bit of the song probably at the end of this episode.
Please do.
Skibbidi-bow-ba-da-dow. Love that bit of scatting. They brought scatting to the mainstream. Full House.
Yes.
But it does not hold up. I remember my dad when I was a kid, he would say, "We're not watching that American crap." But I don't know why he was calling that American. Like everything on TV is pretty, like 50% of the shows on TV are American. So I don't know why he was singling that out as American crap. But
it really kind of is American crap, though.
Right.
I don't. Yeah, your dad. I don't really argue with that.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, big fan of how you say bananas.
That's New Jersey talking,
is
right
it
there.
Right? Bananas.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Five bananas.
Yeah.
Bunch of five bananas. So that's
they can't help it.
That's the banana score, and then we do the DNA. How much of yourself did you see in Ginger the Chimp? On screen as a percentage, because in way of explanation of this segment, Andy Matthews, who's some sort of scientist, was on the first episode of the show, and he told us that humans and chimps share 98% DNA. So we normally talk about how much of ourselves we see in the chimp or the on-screen primate as a percentage from 1 to 100. You know how percentages work.
I'm familiar with them, yes. I might say I'm 80% ginger.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, technically we're 98, but whatever. 80%, just because Ginger gets into lots of trouble and I don't know if I would necessarily do that, but she does think Uncle Jesse is cute and I think Uncle Jesse is cute.
Yeah.
So we're alike in that way, although I certainly wouldn't treat him the way she did.
Yeah, he wouldn't go straight for hands in the pocket.
I'm not handsy like that, no.
Yeah, I don't think you can get away with that. That's really 1992 type behavior.
That's right.
We don't accept
I'm
that
a little
anymore.
More subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I get Ginger. I see where she's coming from, but we're not completely the same.
Yeah. That was something that I took away from that. I said, geez, John Stamos was a hot babe in 1992. Probably still is. I haven't seen him in a while. The last time he was sort of in the public eye in Australia is when he was on a breakfast TV show and he was off his chops. And I think it was later explained that maybe he'd taken a Valium or something, or he flew out and he was medicated or something, but he seemed drunk. But there was some sort of, they talked it down from, it was some sort of medical thing or something like that.
I did not know about this.
No, I mean, it was semi-big news in Australia, but I imagine John Stamos in 2008 being a bit drunk on TV isn't going to make it back to America necessarily.
Maybe it did. I don't know. But he's a father now. You know, maybe he's calmed down.
Yeah. I mean, he was a rock and roller.
Yeah. He was with the Beach Boys. He played with the Beach Boys.
He played drums on Kokomo.
I know.
He's in the film.
He's a talented guy.
He could do it all.
He really can. It's no wonder the chimp liked him.
He can do both playing a cheesy uncle character in a sitcom and play the drums for a cheesy pop hit.
Yes. Actual rock star and pretend rock star, yeah. All in one.
It's a blur. Where does he begin? When does he end? I reckon Uncle Jesse is real. You know what I mean?
He really is. We should all aspire to have a little bit of his zest for life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a beautiful sentiment. I think so. I'm going to say maybe. Yeah, I'm like you. Not at all trouble. I don't look for trouble like Ginger. I'm going to say maybe 60%. And yeah, most of that is a fondness for John Stamos. It's about all that.
Everyone likes him.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay to admit that.
I think it should be okay. I'm okay with it.
It is okay. Yes, you should be.
And then the last thing we do is thank a few Patreons, even though we've already heard from a few of them. Here are a few more. And what I get them to do is tell me what their favorite primate is. And so I'm going to do that now. And the way people can support the show is go to patreon.com/dogoonpod, and they can support the three podcasts in this little podcast network, including Primates, Do Go On, and Book Cheat. And one of the rewards is you get a shout out at the end of the show. You also get into the Facebook group where I asked that question before, and people were able to send questions to Erica. But I'm going to thank a few here. Patreon Matt Dennis says he's a big fan of gibbons. They have ball joints in their wrists, I think, he says, so they can change direction while swinging. Several years ago at the Melbourne Zoo, we were checking them out. One was hanging out right up against the window looking at a little kid. The gibbon then put one finger in its own bottom, pulled it out, and popped it in its mouth. Drew quite a reaction for the zoo visitors. That's a subtle message.
I didn't expect that.
No, that was quite a little turn there. I'm a big fan of the gibbons as well. For different reasons, I'd say.
Me too.
I think they're awesome animals, but yeah, did not know that happened once to me.
Okay, moving on.
Dan Barley, he says, you already know my primate. You used its picture for this post. Oh, okay, because I post a picture for the question. He says, seriously though, how cute is it? It's a little ball of orange happiness. Ha ha. Well, I've cut and pasted that. Dan, I haven't read this yet. Now I can't remember what the primate is that I asked that question on. Oh, mate.
Was it an orangutan? You said it was orange?
No, I think it might have been a golden tamarind, maybe.
Mm. You're looking it up now?
I think it was a golden lion tamarind, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
Which they're pretty
also
amazing.
Adorable.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm pretty sure, Dan. That's his favorite. He sold me out a bit there, though, but I'm pretty sure it's the golden lion tamarind is what you're saying there, Dan. And you're right. That is a little ball of orange happiness.
Respectable choice.
Respectable choice. Jeez, respectable. That's, you're a bit cold on it there. Only respectable.
No, I support it. That's a good choice.
And then Mark Sweeney says, my favorite primate is the gorilla, mostly because of the memory I have of visiting the zoo as a child. Excited to see the gorillas, 8-year-old me was shocked to find that all they did was touch themselves and pee on each other. What a weird list.
Here we go.
I'm so sorry. This has given you a bad experience of who listens to this show. I don't think they're all into scatology or whatever, or not, you know, maybe a lot of them like the scatting at the end of the Full House theme, but not necessarily.
That's
like
a different kind of scat.
Different kind of scat. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. We should have specified that.
I should have let them know. I think they got somewhere along the lines. The message got confused.
It did.
But still, these are the people that help this show make it exist. So I really do appreciate their support. There's one final one. I've just lost it here. Just scrolling down.
Yes, I wonder what their favorite is.
Yeah, and if it's got anything to do with shit or piss.
Odds are it does.
Finally, so far it's 2 out of 3. Cameron Silk says, my favorite little primate pal is the red slender loris. The most social of nocturnal primates, they play wrestle, sleep curled up on a branch with their feet, with their head between their legs, and they are cute as shit. Always look like they have just had a big night and are feeling guilty about something. I don't know if I know what these ones look like. I'm going to have to look this up.
They are adorable.
Red slender loris.
To me, they resemble bush babies, but they have the big nocturnal eyes, and they're adorable. He's right. They're cute as shit.
Oh, yes, they are. I love, yeah, the lorises are great. And that, I love that how he's got a specific kind of loris, the red slender.
Right, that is very particular.
Yes.
But good for him.
I know Cameron, he's a good guy and a very good suggestion there. Thank you so much, Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron.
And that basically brings us to the end of the episode. Where can people find you? I'll put a link to Napsa below.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we're talking now, when I say Napster, I'm talking about the Notional Agreement Preserving State Awards. I'll put a link to that website so you can vote in their upcoming awards or whatever they are, I assume.
Please do not. You can vote. Everyone can vote, but that is not who we are.
Oh, sorry. Who are you again?
We are the North
American
National
Australian Pharmacy Students Association.
No pharmaceuticals. No.
No?
No. Is this a pharmaceutical podcast? Am I the wrong one?
Yeah, this is the we've been talking about that pharmaceutical episode of Full House all episode.
Oh, that's such a good episode too. How did these lines get crossed again?
Whoopsies.
Okay. Well, darn. It was all a big misunderstanding. So
this
North
feels
American
like the
primate...
plot of an episode of Full House all of a sudden.
It is. You tell me when I should say the name of my organization.
You should. Sorry, I've talked over you three or four times. I'll give you a clean run from now.
Let's try. Let's see if I can do it without mucking it all up. The North American Primate Sanctuary Alliance. You can find our website at primatesanctuaries.org. We're on Facebook at Primate Sanctuary and Instagram and Twitter at NAPSA Primates.
Awesome. So I'll have links to all that stuff in the show description. If you click on them and follow them, I follow them and they're... Nothing else. Great pictures of primates. It's
Aw, thank you.
It's a real nice time. And hopefully, Erica, if the listeners being into shit and piss hasn't turned you off too much, we'll have to have you back on again sometime soon.
I would love to. I mean, look, shit and piss is what happens with animals, so it's natural. It's part of life. We're used to it at sanctuaries.
Right.
It won't scare me away.
No, and it definitely feels like that. It had a lasting impact on a few listeners. So,
hey, they're listening, so that's good.
That's true. And people can find Primates on social medias at PrimatesPod, and the Gmail email address is primatespod@gmail.com. And there's links. All of this is in the show description. There's also a link to giving us topic suggestions, different movies and TV shows that you think would be make good episode topics. Maybe if you want to suggest, put it in the notes, a topic that you think Erica would be good for next time, let us know. And also please review us if you can on iTunes or wherever. Give us a 5-star review. Why not? And Erica, as we always finish the show with our classic sign-off, thanks so much for joining us, Erica. And as we always
Thank
say
you
here,
for having me.
Sorry, Erica.
Do it again.
I feel like I've talked over you more this episode than in the past.
No, me too. I'm trying not to.
I'm going to remember that. I've just got it because there's that slight delay. So I think we both go for the same, what we think is the pause. But it's anyway,
well,
I'll remember that for next time. So thanks so much for joining us this week, Erica. And as we always say here on Primates Podcast,
I hope you like the podcast as much as Uncle Jesse likes his hair.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.